Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, and I'm your host. The mission in my work is to empower people to manifest their values of compassion and wellness in their everyday lives. I'm the author of The Joy of Vegan Baking, The Vegan Table, Color Me Vegan, Vegan's Daily Companion, On Being Vegan, and the upcoming The 30-Day Vegan Challenge. The new book is slated for a January 2015 release, and the online program is still going strong. It's 30dayveganchallenge.com, which gives you everything you need to make the transition healthfully, joyfully, and deliciously. You can learn more about who I am and what I do by visiting my website, ColleenPatrickGoudreau.com. The new website will be unveiled very soon, so stay tuned. I always laugh inside. I laugh a little inside whenever I read the names of my books, because there was one time when I named the books to someone, The Joy of Vegan Baking, The Vegan Table, Color Me Vegan, Vegan's Daily Companion, On Being Vegan, and The 30-Day Vegan Challenge. And they said, "Are you vegan?" Yes, I'm vegan. So the first thing I want to say is that I'm so thrilled to introduce to you our new sponsor, although I'm certain they're already familiar to you. It's a 33-year family-owned and operated business. They use only certified organic and whole soybeans, domestically sourced, of course, and they support hundreds of food outreach events every year to grassroots organizations all over the world, all around the country. And if you haven't guessed who they are, it's Tofurky, a staple, dare I say, a pioneer in the vegan food industry. Tofurky offers delicious, as you already know, plant-based meats in deli slices, sausages, hot dogs, tempeh cakes. I love their tempeh cakes. And strips, breakfast links they have. They have frozen pizzas, quiche, pot pie, pockets, and they have a new gluten-free sausage pesto pizza coming soon. I still remember the first time I had tofurky Italian sausage. I can't remember the first time I had tofu, but I remember the first time I had tofurky Italian sausage, and I was hooked from the start, and it was definitely one of those things that I shared with family and friends who were not vegan or vegetarian. And they were hooked. It's just so fantastic. And that's just one of the many sausages they have. They also have a spinach pesto sausage, an Italian sausage with tomato and basil. They have chicken and apple sausage. They have kielbasa, beer brats. And of course, they have tofurky deli slices. We love the hickory smoked. My husband loves the tofurky deli slices, especially when we're packing up lunches for his work or for picnics or for airplanes. And to boot, they not only create delicious, compassionate food items, they also put their money where their, well, where their compassion is. Their manufacturing plant in Oregon is the second plant in the entire world to have LEED Platinum standards. LEED stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, their green building standards, and to have Platinum standards to lead, well, no pun intended, to lead in LEED standards is pretty phenomenal. So check them out, please, at tofurky.com. You can find out where their deliciousness is sold. They're sold in many, many, many stores around the country, and you can find out when you go to their website, tofurky.com. But I also really encourage you to go to their very active, really lovely Facebook page, which is facebook.com/tofurkyfan. Tofurky fan, because you're a tofurky fan, like their page and demonstrate that you are as well, like I am, a tofurky fan. So tofurky.com and facebook.com/tofurkyfan. Thank you to our platinum members, U.S. Army Captain Janie Mena, Deborah McDowell, members of the Norwegian Vegan Society, Tim Anderson, David Cabrera, and Alexander Gray in New York City, who you're going to hear about in a moment. Alexander Gray Associates, who you're also going to hear about. Peter and Eric of Peace Food Cafe in New York City, who you're also going to hear about at peacefood.com. And Kavitha and Carrie Parker are platinum members. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you also to Animal Learn, whose ongoing sponsorship has made me so proud. Animal Learn is the education arm of the American Anti-Vivisection Society. And we've talked about this before. AAVS was one of the first organizations I discovered 25 years ago when I first became an animal advocate, and I've loved them ever since. So aside from the work they do to end the use of animals in laboratories, they also do amazing work in their education division called Animal Learn, who is sponsoring today's podcast episode. Animal Learn is the perfect resource to learn more about compassion in the classroom, about humane education, and especially humane science education. Students, parents of students, people who know students, as I've said before, if you have a school near you, visit animallearn.org/compassion and get your free information packet about their program through which they loan out alternatives to dissection to interested teachers and students. They have over 500 items that can be borrowed for free. They have realistic models, lifelike mannequins, high-tech computer programs, simulators, no need for the use of animals in classrooms, in universities, in science classrooms, at veterinary schools, no need at all to use dead animals who are often sourced from slaughterhouses and from the fur industry. So we're supporting some pretty violent industries when we support this, and alternatives exist. So Animal Learn is the place for those alternatives. And I encourage you to check out animallearn.org/compassion to get your info packet free today. animallearn.org/compassion. The support from all of you enables me to focus on creating what I have been told is valuable content. I'm working so hard to get this out to the mainstream public, but I need you to do that. So we're going to have some really exciting changes take place when the new website launches, and we're going to be shifting the way we do the memberships. And we're going to be shifting the way we do these podcast sponsorships. Really exciting things happening, and I need you. I need you. So go to ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com, become an annual member, become a monthly member. Those things won't change, but the perks are going to change. The gifts for you are going to change. Really exciting things taking place, but I need you in order to keep doing this work. So thank you so much, ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com, and go to sponsor the podcast. Well, hello, everyone. It is lovely to be back in California. For those who are following, it has been a whirlwind of a week. I launched the crowdfunding campaign to bring back the new, revised, updated, and improved 30-Day Vegan Challenge book. I launched the crowdfunding campaign on May 1st, and y'all came through, and we reached the first goal in 1 week. This is the stuff of stories. I have not had the time or the ability or the finances to create the press release that we need to get this word out there to the press, but this is the stuff of news stories. You funded the first goal, which was $31,000 to bring back the book for the publication of the book in 1 week. And I thank you. I'm so touched and impressed. And this is for all of us. This is for all of us. This is for the animals. And I'm so incredibly grateful. We have so much more to do. We have a second goal. Because we were able to fund just the publication of the book, we now want to be able to fund the outreach of the book, the marketing of the book, the public awareness of the book. And we have until June 6th to do this. I'm going to be really honest with you. The campaign has lagged. I think there is the perception that because we reached that first goal, there's nothing more to do. That couldn't be farther from the truth. If we really want this book to have legs, as I've explained in video updates that I've sent out in the first episode in which I talked about this, we really need to fund this next goal. And I need all of you to help me do this. If we want this to be a major player in the marketplace, I need you. If you want this to just be a niche book for a vegan community, you know, that we'll all know about, but not many people will, then don't do anything. But if we really want this to be a major player, I need you. If you've already contributed, maybe you can contribute a little bit more. You can go change your contribution level. Maybe you want a different perk. Maybe you want a better perk. I don't know. But if you can do $10 more, $100 more, if you can pool it together with other members of the organization that you're part of, if you can spread the word around you. I mean, anything you can do is significant. We also have a fun contest so that if you've already contributed and you're logged in, you can just use the share tools underneath the video on the campaign page, the Indiegogo campaign page, and you can share that link, whether it's through Facebook or Twitter or the link itself. And because you are logged in, I'll be able to tell in the reports who has brought in the most number of backers. So if you are sharing this with people and encouraging them to help get this book out there into the mainstream and support the campaign, you also get some really cool perks, including a 3-month subscription to Allison's Gourmet cookies or brownies, you can pick, including Allison River Sampson's ebook called Comfortably Yum, which is fantastic, and lots of other prizes. So I'm really trying to make it fun and exciting to incentivize you. But really, the bottom line is that this is a book that can really reach the mainstream with your help. And I've said this before, but the work that I'm putting into this book, the way I put into everything I do, because I care about the packaging, I care about the messaging, I care about the professionalism of everything I do, this book is no exception. And I'm putting my blood, sweat, and tears into this for you, for the animals, for everybody who needs this information. And I'm not talking about this being surface beauty. I'm talking about this being a thing that makes people go, oh my gosh, what's that? Oh my, wow, this is so compelling. This is what vegan looks like. I want to be part of that. And that's what I'm really trying to do with this book. So I need your help. Go to Indiegogo.com, type in 30-day vegan challenge, or even if you go to the food section, I think it's the number one campaign right there. And you can also go to my website, my Facebook page, and it has the link there. It's just too wonky a link to just read out to you. But please go to Indiegogo.com and support the campaign in any and every way you can. We still have time to make this a player. So that was my first week, was you all reaching this first goal, and it was incredible. So I launched the campaign. I had a few days at home before we left for New York. We got in late Sunday night, I think it was May 5th, and we headed right to the hotel restaurant for some food. And we had a delicious meal. We had roasted spicy cauliflower, roasted veggies, and a kale salad. Do not underestimate restaurants, especially restaurants who kind of have more of a salad vibe or a little more inclined towards vegetables on their menu. We found everything was just delectable, and we just asked for no cheese, and everything was fantastic. So the week started with a bang. I woke up Monday and I headed straight to the hotel gym. We looked really hard for an Airbnb in New York City. And every time we found one that we liked in the neighborhood we needed it to be in, when you look on Airbnb, you name the dates and then it tells you these things are available during that time block. And every time we would pick one and contact them to say we'd like to book the place, they said it wasn't available at that time. So that was kind of annoying. But I always look for places that have a gym because I really like to keep my normal routine when I'm traveling. And that normal routine means how I eat and that I work out. So I am a street runner at home. I'm a street runner in California. I confess I don't like being a street runner in cities. I mean, like, you know, metropolitan areas. Obviously, I live in a city, but I'm in a kind of a more residential area of the city, and it's very quiet and it's very tree laden, and the lake is right nearby, and I like running like that. I don't even like running at the lake. I don't like running around people. I like to run just by myself where there's nobody around. I don't like being distracted. I don't like having to move around people on the streets. So there you go. Now you know. So I don't run on the streets in cities that I travel to. So I usually get a hotel or an Airbnb that has some kind of gym. And so that's what I did Monday morning. Went right to the gym and ran as much as I could all week while we were there. And then Monday night, Alex and David, who you've heard me thank in every podcast episode, who are literally my fairy godmothers, and they know I call them that and they don't mind, they hosted a party for our campaign at their art gallery, alexandragray.com in Chelsea. And it was an absolute love fest filled with the lights of the animal rights and vegan communities, whom I'm honored to call my friends and colleagues. And we were talking, Jasmine Singer and Marianne Sullivan of our hen house, very good friends of mine. Peter Liu, who's the co-owner, along with his partner, Eric, of Peace Food Cafe, who you always hear me talk about. Kristen, who's the amazing pastry chef at Peace Food Cafe. And it was wonderful to spend time with Kristen at Peace Food a few days later. She taught me how to make their tiramisu, which is the best. I don't mean the best tiramisu in the world. It's my favorite dessert in the world. And I don't even like coffee. Okay. I don't even drink coffee, like coffee or anything. And their tiramisu is my favorite. So Kristen has written up the recipe for the tiramisu. I've got some work to do to kind of edit it and test it for the new 30-day vegan challenge. So this recipe will be in the new 30-day vegan challenge, the tiramisu. And she and I spent time in the kitchen at Peace Food, and she showed me how to make it just because I really wanted to get hands-on rather than just read the recipe. So it was really special. And Kristen was at the celebration celebrating our campaign. Jenny Brown and Doug Abel from Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary, also good friends. Joshua Catcher, the discerning brute, or as you heard me talk about him recently, brave gentleman. Remember Lionhearted in the compassionate fashion episode? There was also, of course, Leanne Malay Hilgart of Vote Couture, who I also raved about in that episode, who's just absolutely stunning. Maya Gottfried, who's a friend. She works at Animals Asia, which is one of my favorite nonprofit organizations. Martin Rowe from Lantern Books, which is an amazing publishing house. Dan from Dunwell Donuts. Dunwell Donuts is a vegan donut shop in Brooklyn. Victoria Moran, who of course you know, she's the author of Main Street Vegan, and she's the founder of Main Street Vegan Academy. Her lovely husband accompanied her, William, and their dog Forbes came with them. Gene Bauer of Farm Sanctuary was supposed to be there, but his plane was delayed, so his uber lovely girlfriend, who I've had dinner with before, we've met before, Suzanne Pender, represented both of them. So she came and represented both her and Jean. Demetrius Bagley of Veducated, David Benziquin of Plant-Based Solutions, and his lovely fiance, Annie and Dan Shannon of Meet the Shannons. And of course, Annie, you know, the cookbook Betty Goes Vegan. Annie's the author of that. I mean, it was just amazing. I hope I'm not missing anybody. And Candle 79 catered the event and served up delectable food, and Alex and David arranged for a professional photographer to document our special event. So it was really incredible, and you can see photos of the event at my Google Plus page. I am kind of testing the waters with Google Plus. I may have mentioned this before. I'm not leaving Facebook. Facebook is really where I have the most interaction with people, and I love it because people who find the Facebook page are really interested in engaging with my message of compassion and wellness, and it's beautiful. I'm testing the waters over at Google Plus, although there are a lot of people who are watching my stuff who are not followers or fans or even vegan or even compassionate. And so they leave a lot of stupid comments that I have to delete. Just comments about bacon when I put up a picture of me and a pig, and comments about steak when I put up a picture of me and a steer. And so it's just a little disconcerting. However, I am using Google Plus for a number of reasons, one of which is that's where I host all of my photos. So Google Plus is where you can find all of my photographs. It's so much easier to find the pool of photos on Google Plus rather than going to try and find any photos you've seen of me with animals or food or what have you on Facebook. It's just a much easier way to organize photos using Google because it's a photo storage place as well. So all that's to say, go to Google Plus. You can become part of my circles and you can see all of the photos from the event. If you just go to Google Plus, you can search for my name and you'll find me there. The rest of the week was just filled with intense work, literally 10 to 12 hour days being connected on the computer every day. It was incredible and intense and exhausting. And it also was filled with lovely dinners and lunches. I had lunch with Jenny and Doug on Tuesday at Peace Food. I had dinner with David's coworkers and David at Hangawi on Tuesday night. Hangawi is one of my favorite New York City restaurants. If you're not familiar with it, it is a beautiful traditional vegan Korean restaurant. And it is a full take your shoes off restaurant, which I love. We have a shoe-free home and I love taking my shoes off to honor a space. And that's what Hangawi is about. And their food is amazing. So we had a delectable dinner with two non-vegans who were very impressed with very happy bellies by the time we left. Wednesday, I worked a lot. I walked around a bit on Wednesday as well. And I want to tell you about this. I walked around Soho and I went to a wonderful local bookstore who had two of my books. I always go in and ask, see if my books are there. And they had Color Me Vegan and The Joy of Vegan Baking. And so I signed those copies, which is lovely. They just really support authors and it was lovely. And while I was there, so you should know from my episodes on literature and language that I love the quest of finding elements of messages of compassion and our relationship with animals in the arts. So I always go to the essay section. I always go to the anthology section. I go to the poetry section. Certainly the literature section, though, that's much more vast. And if I don't know, that's not true. I was going to say if I don't know about a novel, I might not find it. But I do scan the shelves also for novels. But on a table for a Pulitzer Prize winning books, and I haven't double checked to see if this is the case with this one. This was on that table. There was a book that I bought that's so awesome, and I've just started reading it. It's by Patricia Highsmith, who you may have heard of. She is the author of The Talented Mr. Ripley that was made into a film that many people have seen, possibly. But she's the author of the book and other books. Well, the book that I found is called The Animal Lover's Book of Beastly Murder. And it's a collection of short stories. And it's just very interesting because it's kind of a turn the tables on these stories about animals. And so I'll read you the description. It says, nowhere is Patricia Highsmith's affinity for animals, which already piqued my interest, because I'm like, okay, that means she might have more going on. I've got to look into. More apparent than in The Animal Lover's Book of Beastly Murder. For here she transfers the murderous thoughts and rages most associated with humans onto the animals themselves. But that doesn't mean that the animals are like depicted as horrible beings. It's turning the tables, and I'm excited. You will meet, for example, in the dead of truffle season, a truffle hunting pig who tries to whet his own appetite for a while. Or Jumbo, which I started reading. It's the first short story and I've already started crying. Or Jumbo in Chorus Girl's absolutely final performance, a lonely old circus elephant who decides she's had enough of show business and cruel trainers for one lifetime. You can imagine where that's going. In the satirical reprise of Kafka, Cats, dogs, and breeding rodents are no longer ordinary beings in the happy home, but actually have the power to destroy the world in which we live. The animals take control. So I'm excited to read this, and I will get back to you on this as I read more of it. I've just started it. So that was a huge find for me as I walked around Soho. This is something I always have to remind myself of, and friends and family always have to remind me to take breaks to do these kinds of things, because this is when you actually discover things that you don't discover when you're sitting at your computer trying to get a ton of work done. I need to go and have those moments where I'd find little gold pieces like this book. So I'm glad I did that. Wednesday night was very special. We saw Cabaret with Alan Cumming, who is vegan and who is one of my favorite people on the planet. He is just, I think, one of the most talented, creative, charming, charismatic, intelligent, delightful people on the planet. And I tried so hard to get tickets for Cabaret. And Cabaret is one of my favorite musicals. I have a joke with a lot of my gay friends that I'm actually a gay man because I am a huge fan of... I'm a huge fan of musicals, or certainly not all musicals, but a lot of musicals. And, you know, I love Barbra Streisand and that kind of thing. So that's kind of a running joke with some friends. But Cabaret is one of my favorites. I used to watch it almost every day with my best friend in high school. And so I'm a huge Cabaret fan, and I'm a huge Alan Cumming fan. And so I'd read rave reviews about this production that also stars Michelle Williams, and who was lovely. And we got tickets. I tried so hard weeks before we left because they were virtually sold out. The only seats left were bad seats, and I just don't want to go see a show if I have bad seats. So a friend pulled some strings in New York City, and at the 11th hour, literally like a few hours before the show, well, maybe it was the day before, but we got amazing seats and we got tickets. That was the main thing. So Alan is on my wish list of people to meet someday. So if anyone's out there and you can make that happen so I can meet Alan Cumming, I'd appreciate that very much. Even if Alan, maybe you're listening, Alan, maybe you should be listening to this podcast. So that was Wednesday. Thursday was a crazy day. I was crashing by then with the intensity of the campaign, but it was incredible because it was clear that we would fund the first goal by Friday. I had a super lovely lunch with girlfriends, actually Maya and Morgan. Morgan is a friend who lives in the Bay Area, and she also used to work for Animals Asia. And so these are my Animals Asia girls, and we had just a wonderful lunch. And then that night we had dinner with Jasmine and Marianne in Brooklyn at the V-Note. And it was wonderful. And then Friday was an amazing day. I worked in the morning and then I went to another favorite restaurant for lunch, which is called Beyond Sushi. Now, we've got Chaya here in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's a vegan sushi restaurant. We have one in Berkeley, one in San Francisco. But Beyond Sushi is like beyond. It is amazing. Just go to their website, which I assume is beyondsushi.com. Just type in Beyond Sushi. And just look at the photography of how gorgeous everything is. Everything looks like that for real. Everything's so unique and delicious. These combinations of flavors and colors are out of this world. It's a very modest place. It's like, you know, more of a lunch place. But I made a point to go there to have lunch. And we were close to funding the first goal of the campaign. And by this time, I was surgically attached to my phone and computer. And my hands hurt a lot. And so I was sitting in Beyond Sushi, desperately trying to enjoy some electronic gadget-free time while I ate lunch. And I was pretty much finished when I saw two women come into the restaurant And they came in very curious. They came in kind of looking at everything and saying to the guys behind the counter, like, what is this? And they said, they said, wow, that looks really pretty. And they looked at one and they said, oh, so is that tuna? And he said, no, it's not tuna. Everything here is vegan. And they said, oh, wow, vegan. That's so great. And they said something like, I don't really eat a lot of meat, but I eat fish, and gosh, that looks like tuna, and what's that made with? And they just started asking all these questions, and they were so delightful. So I got up and walked over to the counter, and I said, you ladies need to try Beyond Sushi, and I would like to buy you lunch. So I ordered what I knew would be the most impressive, just because I've had them before, and we sat down together. They joined me, and they were the most delightful, lovely women who were so interested in becoming vegan and so interested in just having me debunk these myths. I mean, it was amazing. It was literally like an in-person 30-day coaching session with these two curious vegan wannabes, and they were just absolutely delightful. So what happened was, I will never forget the call I got when we funded, because I almost missed it. I was lunching with them and talking to them and really engaged with them. And I got a call from David Cabrera, who said we were 101% funded. So I'll never forget that moment of being with these beautiful women who wanted to become vegan. And while the campaign for 30 Day Vegan Challenge was running, I got the call. And so it was really perfect. And I will never forget that. Now, I was near collapse when David came back to the hotel from his office. I literally was lying on the bed in the dark with some stupid television show on, and all I could muster was the energy to say, please rub my hands, because my hands were so sore. So we just ate a late dinner that night at the hotel restaurant, and we called it a day. It was the only night we didn't have any plans with our friends, and it was just nice to just be. And on Saturday, we headed to New Jersey, where we would stay with David's parents and celebrate the next day, Sunday, Mother's Day, with his family and my mom and her lovely boyfriend, Paul. Now, I've mentioned my mom and Paul before, and Paul is, it's just so interesting. I've mentioned this before on the podcast episode. It was one of the love letters episode, and I talked about the fact that my mother's not vegan, neither is my father, and that I don't take the blame for them not being vegan, just the way I don't take credit for someone being vegan. It's their own choice, and I'm just here with the information that if they want it, here I am and here you go. But I can't make them do anything. And so I think I mentioned that my mother had a valve replaced in her heart in December. And I'm not going to be naive. I really do believe this was an issue she's had for many, many years in her life. I don't believe eating animal products helped, but I do believe this is something that she's had for a long time. And yet she needs to stop eating meat, because that's going to be the best thing for her heart and for the animals. Now, Paul, interestingly, of course, everybody perceives that they don't eat a lot of meat. They perceive that they eat healthfully. And Paul's wonderful. And he had another stent put in his heart just recently. So, and it was very cute, because when I talked to him on the phone a couple months ago, I asked him how he was doing. I said, hi, my gosh, we haven't talked. How did the operation go? How did the surgery go? And he said, it wasn't surgery, it was a procedure. And I said, okay, whatever you want to call it, you had a stent put into your heart, and et cetera. So we talked, because when he was in the doctor's office or hospital for the day for the stent being put in, whatever it was for his procedure, I made my mother bring the 30-Day Vegan Challenge, the original 30-Day Vegan Challenge. Because don't forget, it's not out there anymore. I even needed to get a copy to someone recently, and it's $50 on Amazon. I'm not going to pay $50 for it. So this is why I am desperate and asking you to support the campaign to bring the new one out and to really get this out there. But I made my mother bring the original copy to him and tell him to read it, just because this is the information that he's going to need. So we talked, and he has been so interested in veganism. So, and at Mother's Day, he and my mother came on Mother's Day to my in-law's house, and he was so interested in what I was making. He was so excited to eat vegan. He was so excited to try the vegan sausage. We were making waffles from the Joy of Vegan Baking, my sister-in-law and I. And so we had waffles. I think there were 12 of us. And so we're making, like, I took hours to make, you know, these waffles for everybody and the sausage. And then we had lots of fruit, and I'm missing something. We had something else for everybody. And he was so excited, and he loved everything we made afterwards. He was just raving about everything. He even, you know, he had coffee, and he even asked if we had any vegan milk so that he could do the whole thing vegan. So I'm just in love. I'm in love because he's in love with my mother. I'm just so happy for both of them, because they're both so happy. And I'm so happy that he's really interested in asking about veganism and getting my mom on board. And this is what I mean when I say, you know, sometimes our family doesn't, they just don't want to hear it from us, but they might hear it from someone else. And it sounds like revelatory information they've never heard before. And I don't care where people hear it from. I don't care if I'm not the source they change from. So I'm just happy they get the information. So hopefully Paul will inspire my mother the way I have not been able to. So it was just a lovely trip. And I'm so grateful we were able to go there for the week. Now, I've been in California for over 16 years. Many of you know that I was raised in New Jersey, and I've been here for 16 years, very intentionally, very happily. But being a bit of a California snob, I admit it, I said it, I'm a California snob. I did make some observations about, what I like better, I can't believe I just said that, about New York, and I'm not above admitting them. Maybe I am a little bit. I'm not above admitting them. So here's the first observation I have about what I like better about New York. I know this about myself, but this last trip made me really own it. I am a New York walker. I walk, okay? I don't stroll. I might not even have somewhere to go, but I have legs that want to move, and so I walk. And I love walking in New York City because everyone walks at that same pace. Everyone walks like they have somewhere to go, because I usually do have somewhere to go, to be honest with you. When I walk here in California, oh, it's not the same thing. Maybe that's, see, this is partly why, this is perfect. I didn't even make this connection. This is exactly why I don't like walking on sidewalks here, just home, anywhere, because there are people who are in my way. And I'll admit it, I am just a walker. I've got somewhere to go. So we have a very walkable neighborhood, and I take walks every day, either alone or with my neighbor or friend. She gets mad when I call her my neighbor. My friend Lori, who listens to the podcast, and so she's going to be very happy to hear her name said. She's my neighbor turned friend. We walk almost every day. David and I walk. And David is 6'3", and I make fun of him all the time because he walks so slowly. I mean, his legs are twice the size of mine, twice the length of my legs, and I walk faster than he does. And he, you know, his argument is that he rushes all the time to get to the bus, to get to the carpool, to get to the office, and to get back home. And when we walk around the neighborhood, he just wants to enjoy it. Now, I don't think that it has to be mutually exclusive. I enjoy walking around the neighborhood, and I also enjoy moving. So that's my long-winded way of saying I really love the way New Yorkers walk. And I wish more of the Californians would walk that way, but then it wouldn't be California, because that's one of the differences between New York and California. Now, this is the most obvious thing. The public transit system in New York City is light years ahead of that in the San Francisco Bay Area. Maybe obvious, but there it is. So I just have to say that because obviously that's something I like better. And next, you know, look, they have it so over on us in terms of vegan restaurants. We live in the San Francisco Bay Area. Yes, every restaurant has something, you know, vegan, obviously. So we can go anywhere and it's not an issue. And when people come to the San Francisco Bay Area, they expect, I think their expectations are high, there to be a mecca. They expect that it is a mecca of vegan restaurants. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's not. That's not nobody's fault here who lives here, who's an activist here, who loves it here. I love it here. But we could do so much better. And New York is just amazing. Now, it's New York. It's like the major metropolis. It's like, you know, world leader in all things, art, culture, economy, everything. But, well, banking, not, I know, I'm not going to get into that conversation, but you know, it's New York. I get it. And we need more out here in the San Francisco Bay Area. It blows my mind. Yes, we've got Encuentro in Oakland in terms of sophisticated restaurants, and Encuentro is expanding and opening a new, larger space, which I cannot wait for. It should be open any day now. And I'm thrilled about that. Of course, we have Millennium in San Francisco. We have fun restaurants that are delicious, like Gracias Madre. We have Chaya. We have Cafe Gratitude. We have Soli Vegan, which is vegan soul food. But in terms of like the range of restaurants and sophisticated restaurants, New York's got it going on. And so I'm impressed and I'm jealous. I'm just going to say I'm jealous a little bit. And what else? I don't know. I just love New Yorkers. I just do. I love how open and direct and real they are. I always have. I always will. And I'm not leaving California. And in fact, since the last podcast, there have been even more amazing things happening here at my little sanctuary. I think I told you that I see foxes. It's one of the things. And when I recorded that, I had seen the fox a handful of times in the last few weeks, in the weeks before that podcast episode was recorded. Prior to that, I hadn't seen them in about a year. So now I see the foxes every day. And part of the reason is because the mama had four babies. So we have fox babies and fox mama all over the place. Like they're all over the place. So much so that my kitties, who generally get outdoor time supervised by me, very closely supervised by me, are not even allowed outside because the foxes are so, they're here all the time. And they're so gorgeous and amazing. So we've got fox babies. And then I mentioned that Ella had a baby and I hadn't seen the baby yet. I saw like the littleness of the baby just going up the hillside right after she was born, but I hadn't seen him yet. So this is what happened yesterday. I don't make stories up. I'm not even exaggerating that it was yesterday. This was yesterday. And I'm not exaggerating about this. I had just been on a walk with my friend Lori. We had just gone on a walk. We came back and I ran right upstairs just to get something from the bedroom and I was holding my phone. It's the problem. I am surgically attached to my phone, but not because I'm obsessed with email or whatever, some of it, but because of my camera. I take pictures a lot, as you can see, and I love taking pictures of wildlife. And so I walked upstairs into the bedroom and the back wall of the bedroom is just all glass windows. They're just window panes. And so I walked up out of the corner of my eye or just I kind of heard something. I really do have like crazy hearing. I have very good hearing. And I heard something and then I looked over at Michiko and her eyes were just wide and dilated. And I looked back to what she was looking at and there was the fox mama walking right past our bedroom window. You may have seen some videos I've shown in the past of the deer walking right past that window. So same thing. There was the fox. So I grabbed the camera. You know, I had to turn it on and put the password in. Followed her down to go down the side of my house and then across to our neighbor's hillside. And that's actually where her babies are. She's from my bedroom window. I watched mama and the babies playing and I'm sure she was teaching them how to hunt. And I was watching them and they were just jumping on the bench and sitting on the bench. They look like puppies. I mean, it was just amazing. So I watched her and I got some pictures and I haven't posted them yet. Let's see if I can get any better ones, but you can definitely see her walking down the hillside. Better than the blurred one I showed the other day. So that was yesterday. I saw the fox and then, you know, walked down, took pictures. And the day before that, David and I were having dinner on the patio. It was around 7:30 and we were on the patio and I didn't bring my phone with me. Stupid me. I didn't bring my phone with me because I was trying to be phone free. Stupid. And I walked inside for something. And as I did, I could see right from the guest bath window that I mentioned in the last episode that's huge. The fox was sitting right outside the window, sitting, watching Michiko, who was inside, watching the fox. So that is like, this was just going on every day. So yesterday, saw the fox, took the pictures. Then I went down into the den. It was like 90 degrees yesterday. So I went down into the den to work because it's really cool. And the den has these glass-paned doors. We put windows everywhere we could because obviously. And we renovated that space and it had just been a small window. Well, we got the window out of there and put in these two French doors to be able to go right outside from the den and to create more light and air in there. So I'm sitting in the den and I'm working. And out of the blue, I didn't even hear anything. All of a sudden, this little being is at the door, just like, hi, just right at the door, just like nose to the glass, right at the door. And it was the fawn. It was Ella's baby. And so very carefully and quietly and slowly, I moved toward my phone and time to grab it to get her. And then by then, her mom had started walking down the steps. And so there they both were on the little patio right outside our den. And of course, I had to follow them around to the other side of the house where they went onto the other hillside, our neighbor's hillside. And that's where they were grazing and eating ivy and just being adorable. And I'm really glad I did this. And I'm glad I saw this because now this validated what my instinct was. I do not feed the deer. I do not think it's responsible to feed wildlife. Obviously, I will plant things they can eat. They have free reign of everything on our side in front of our house. But I do not put deer food out. People have asked me that on Facebook, etc. And I don't. But I do put water out and I have no problem putting water out. They need water and we are still suffering from the drought we had. Whatever. Water is okay. And so I had this tub, this kind of black tub of water out there. Mom, Ella, went over there and she was drinking from it. She drank all of it. So I was looking forward to later on that night. And I did go out and I filled it up again. And then her baby joined her. And while I was watching them and filming them, I saw out of the corner of my eye some movement on the top of the hill. And there was Marcus, who's just getting more gorgeous every day. Marcus is probably about a 2-year-old male. And his antlers are so huge and they're so gorgeous. I can't even believe we see this every day. I can't even believe it. So someone had written, oh my gosh, Stevie, I think your name was, and she had recommended, based on what I had said in the last episode She recommended a name because I had said that all of the deer are named after Greek or Roman figures in history. And so she recommended, and I took it because I love it. She recommended Apollo if he is a boy, the baby, and Apollonia if she's a girl. So we've got either Apollo/Apollonia until we know for sure. And that's just amazing. I mean, that's just what's going on. So I'm very grateful, and thank you all for indulging me in sharing these photos. It's literally the epitome of my life based on compassion and love of animals. It's a dream, and I'm so grateful for it, and I will continue to share as long as you will indulge me. Well, I'll continue to share even if you don't want to indulge. If nobody's looking, I'm still going to share. So one more story from New Jersey, because you're going to love this. You are going to love this. I swear to you, I did not write this letter. So this letter is based on, I'm going to read this letter and then I'm going to tell you the story. I swear to you, I did not write this letter. The timing of this email, it's an email, I call it a letter, so old school. The email, the timing of it, since we're in the middle of the 30-day vegan challenge campaign, it's just weird that this is like, we're in the middle of it. And the story I'm about to tell you, it's going to seem like I wrote this. I swear I did not write this. I'm so excited about sharing this with you. You're going to love this. The number of emails I receive about this particular thing, you would not believe how many emails I receive about this. It's hilarious. Here goes. Here's an email from Jennifer. First, I have to say thank you so much. My name is Jennifer. My mom, sister, and I all took your 30-day vegan challenge. We had been 90% vegan for a long time, always vegetarian, but ate the occasional pizza with cheese or dessert with milk, that kind of thing. Your 30-day program won me over. Thank you so much. I have read your books and listened to your podcast. You help put into words the things I want to say to all of my non-vegan friends and family, and you do this without judgment and so eloquently. Thank you, Jennifer. Now hang on, Jennifer, because I hope you're listening. Jennifer continues, my random question is this. From day one, as soon as I saw your videos/pictures, I fell in love with your large silver tree pendant. Is it possible for you to tell me where you purchased this? Thanks for everything, Jennifer. Now, it's even more fitting and more serendipitous that my sister-in-law's name is Jennifer, call her Jen. And so here's how this played out. I wear this tree necklace all the time. It's kind of become my signature, and I love the tree of life, and it's a symbol that resonates with me. Trees, as I've talked about ad nauseum, resonate with me, and that's why we moved to this house, so I could be among the trees. So trees really resonate with me, the tree of life. I wear this necklace all the time. I also have a ring, the tree of life, etc. People ask about this necklace all the time, all the time. Now, I bought this pendant 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I don't even remember. It was in a little store in Narragansett in Rhode Island. And it was this little store called Most Naturally. And I started getting people asking me about this necklace. And I wrote to the owner, her name is Tina. We had contact for some time because she was interested in becoming vegan. And she didn't remember who the artist was. I never followed up. I couldn't find it, whatever, fine. So fast forward, years go by and people ask me about this pendant all the time. And I feel bad because I don't know what to say. I don't have an answer. And I don't like not having an answer. So Jen, my sister-in-law, she has seen pictures of me with this pendant. She was looking at me in person at that very moment. Like the whole time I was there on Saturday and Sunday, she saw me. She would look at me and I'm wearing the pendant. But I showed her a picture that I was asking her something about. And it was a picture of me and it had the tree. And she said, oh, I have that necklace. I said, no, you don't. Rude. I said, no, you don't. You don't. And she goes, yes, I do. I have that same pendant. I'm like, no, you don't, Jen. I don't believe you. Why did you just recognize it now looking at the picture? You mean this necklace that I'm wearing? Why did you only see it? I have the necklace. She said, I have that pendant. I said, no, you didn't. I got this in Narragansett because we always go with them to Narragansett, the family, David's family. I said, that little store in Narragansett. She goes, I got it from a catalog. She said, I bought it. My mom and I bought it. I bought it from a catalog. I said, stop lying, stop being a liar. Anyway, she went upstairs and she got the necklace and she came down. It was the same exact pendant. And I said, where the heck did you get that? Like, where? How did you possibly get that? And she said, I ordered it from a catalog. And between the three of us, just kind of brainstorming, thinking, Google searching, we found the website that she got the pendant from that you can order the pendant from as well. And everybody who wants to order this pendant, you can order it. Now, you'll see that it's available in both pewter, which is what mine is. It's not silver. And I think there's also a silver, or no, it's gold plated, I think. Go look, you'll see yourself. I have the pewter one. So here's the website, and I'll put this on my website and I'll put this on Facebook because I'm so thrilled to just be able to answer the question. I hate not being able to direct people to the answer to the question. So the website to buy the Tree of Life pendant that I wear, you'll see in every photo of me, is Lovell Designs, L-O-V-E-L-L Designs, LovellDesigns.com. And then you just type in Tree of Life. It's under their Earth Song collection. There's lots of really beautiful pendants there, to be honest, like nature and animals. Just really, really lovely jewelry. So LovellDesigns.com/Earth Song-collection/Tree of Life. Just go to LovellDesigns.com and type in Tree of Life and you will find it. If you need help, just go look at a picture of me, and that's the one that I have. Isn't that exciting? I'm so excited. So I'm just so happy to share that with you. And Jennifer, I hope you're listening. I'll email you to make sure you also have that information. You will also see this tree necklace in the photos of the new 30-Day Vegan Challenge cover and in the photos we are shooting. Actually, by the time this airs, we're shooting this weekend, all of the photos. And by the time this airs, we'll have shot them. So here's a tip. If you want to see the behind the scenes of this book being made, we're going to do some behind the scenes photos of the book, of the cover shoot. Become a contributor, become a backer, because backers are going to see the process of this whole book being made, because you're the ones who are making this happen. And you'll get to see it before anybody else does. So please become a backer. Go to Indiegogo.com and type in 30-Day Vegan Challenge. And become a backer, please. So that's everything I wanted to share with you about my week. I've got some amazing callers. In just a moment, we're going to come back and we're going to take these calls in the What Would Colleen Do segment. I'm so excited about these callers. I just think, again, to stuff that we all deal with all the time. First, just a reminder about our fabulous sponsors, Animal Learn and Tofurky. Tofurky offers the most delicious plant-based meats in the form of deli slices, and hot dogs and sausages and tempeh cakes and breakfast links and chorizo and frozen pizzas. The frozen pizzas remind me of my childhood frozen pizzas. I don't know if that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. So go to tofurky.com or go to facebook.com/tofurkyfan. Thank you also to Animal Learn, the education arm of the American Anti-Vivisection Society, which strives to eliminate the use of animals in education and are dedicated to assisting educators and students to find the most effective non-animal methods to teach and study science. Please visit animallearn.org/compassion right away to get your free resources to empower students and teachers and parents alike. animallearn.org/compassion. Okay, we'll be right back. Take a little break. Enjoy some music by Gösta Berling. Gösta Berling. Yay, Gösta Berling. GöstaBerling.com. My husband, my rock star. So this is our time together for me to answer your questions directly. We're going to have a new system and a new email address for the What Would Colleen Do emails because of the new website. So stay tuned. But for now, you can email wwcpgd@compassionatecooks.com. It's going to be very different very soon. But I enjoy your calls even more. I love your emails, but the calls are they're just incredible because I get to interact with you directly. So if you've got a question about living compassionately and healthfully, i.e. vegan, you can call me directly and our chat may end up on the podcast. Information about calling will be in a new place on the new website under a section called Connect. But for now, go to Ask Colleen at ColleenPatrickGoudreau.com. I certainly do not have all the answers at all, but I do have a lot of opinions and I'm happy to share them if you ask. So our first call was really cute. I decided to put these two girls together because the second one references the first one. And these are two girlfriends who called together. And so we did their calls separately so they could each have their time with their calls. It was pretty cute. They each had a question. So the first call we have is from Cress.
Hello, Cress.
Hello, Colleen.
How are you?
We're so excited. We're eating the most fabulous vegan meal and we're both like, let's call. So my question Yeah, it's fun to meet you.
Thank you.
So here's my question is, I was on Facebook like 2 months ago, and my own family is part of the rah-rah-rah backyard, you know, I raised it and I'm closer to it and I killed it stuff. Mm-hmm. That's particularly, I don't know where it's prominent, but my vibe is in Sonoma County in California. So I'm on Facebook and my cousin posts, I'm sorry to like say this, but she posts a picture of a pig and says, I'm going to slaughter this pig. Let me know if you want to buy parts of it. Mm-hmm. And I just lost my cookies. And I actually just contacted a couple people and that care about animals, and I quickly got plenty of people who wanted to contribute, and we were just going to buy the pig and just hope against hope we could find a rescue organization that would take her, him. I'm not sure. I think it was a him. Mm-hmm. He actually had a name. His name was Windmere. Mm-hmm. So I know. So my question would be, you know, given that she's my family, and then I actually offered to buy the pig, and she wrote back really clearly, he's not for sale unless it's parts of him having been slaughtered. Like, she wouldn't even sell him to me. So given that it was family and that, you know, she knows where I stand, and then at that point she unfriended me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Just, she said it was too expensive, you know, taxing on her time to have to respond to me. And that's what happened. Just it killed me because she also posted a video of him in response to me caring. She went out and videotaped him and said, look at this happy pig, and patted him on the back and stuff like that. So it was hard. And I guess the question is what to do, but also, like, you know, for my own psychology, because to be honest, ever since then, I just am seething with kind of like what feels like hatred. I'm just like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I think what makes it so hard in both, in this case, in two ways, is that there were individuals whose names you knew, who you had an intimate relationship with in the case of your cousin, and who you saw as an individual with a name in the case of the pig. Because we know, right now sitting here, that there are millions of animals being killed right this minute.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. But once it's put in front of us and there is what feels and seems like an opportunity to intervene and actually save that animal, then it's closer to home, right?
Exactly.
And I think that's what happened, obviously, and that you then reached out. And I don't know what you mean when you say you lost your cookies, because that could mean a number of different things. I don't know exactly what that means. I'm assuming that means that you reacted emotionally on Facebook to her post, to her call out for people to buy the pig.
Yeah, I got like 130 comments.
Yeah, I posted it on my wall and like 130 comments. It was all my animal liberation and vegan friends, and then like a couple of my family members defending her.
Okay.
So
Do me a favor, Chris, just one second. I hear like a high pitch something in the background. Is there something you can turn down? I just want to make sure that the record's okay.
Maybe a wind chime.
Is that all it was? Oh, okay. That's fine. I just didn't know if there was. I didn't want it to keep going and interfere with your call.
No, you're good.
Okay. So go on. Please finish what you were saying.
I think it was just, you know, to be honest, to me, we were raised as sisters pretty much every summer together, and I've seen her as a little sister. So that was hard.
Yeah.
To you know, I hear of this stuff going on, and then it's my own family.
Yeah. Yeah. Does your family, besides the rah-rah cheerleading for the backyard slaughter stuff, I assume they eat animals, like, just kind of,
yeah,
no holds barred. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. It's this kind of very specific, I know now that you do this, you're capable. I mean, you knew it already, but you're right. I know you're doing this. And there's this I won't say power struggle, but there is this. I mean, that is what's happening. There is the I want to and I need to win this one because a life is at stake. And she feels that you have no right to do that because this is her business and her right. So you have no right to do that. And so she needs to win because she needs to prove that she doesn't have to do what you say, especially if you just, if that dynamic is true, that there is this little sister kind of component to it. She's a big girl. She doesn't need you to tell her what to do. And in fact, so much so that even if you would have given her the money that she would have gotten from the parts of that pig, she's not going to sell that pig to you out of defiance and to win. I mean, so there is this power struggle that goes on. And we have to decide really at any given moment in any given relationship. And it's a case by case basis. This isn't, there isn't one answer for this. But we do have to decide when we're faced with these dilemmas, and it doesn't have to be as specific and graphic as this one, but we're always facing, when do we speak up? When do we say something? When do we say nothing? When do we push back? When do we intervene? I mean, there's all these questions that we're constantly faced with. And so you were faced with this one, and it felt really raw, and it felt really visceral, and it was very clear and very literally there was a life at stake. And so the urgency was even greater. And then on top of that, it was someone who's been in your family, someone who you've been close to, someone you have all this history with. So there's just so much going on. And you did the best you could. You know, you just did the best you could. You did. And I commend you for speaking up. You'll have to decide if you did it in the most productive, effective, compassionate way possible. That, you know, perhaps there are some things you can learn from it. Would you do anything differently? Perhaps. But, you know, you did the best you could, and that's all we can do, really. And I'm so sorry that you weren't able to win this one because a specific life is at stake. But perhaps there are other things you can go focus on right now. Maybe some things that you can focus on to give you a win. Maybe something specific, a campaign or it could be a goal that you set that you accomplished so that you feel like you've set out to do something to help a very specific cause or individual and accomplished it.
And there's a lot of that too. You know, I am in my first year of being awake to these issues, and a lot of people are touched by the changes I've made in my life. So there is a lot. There's a lot. There's a lot of good stuff. Yeah, it was hard knowing a specific animal. And also, I'm in the rabbit rescue community, and she's slaughtering rabbits. So it's just like, oh my God. Wow, it's hard.
So as far as the hatred, the strong emotions that you're feeling, you know, hatred is just, you know, it's just a strong emotion. If that's what you're feeling, it's okay. I mean, it's just you know.
That's the word. I mean, to be honest, if I felt hate, I'd probably have shame about it anyway. But I think it's more just like bafflement of like, are you a bad person? Yeah. I know she's not a bad person, but I don't know how else to make sense of it but to think she's a bad person.
Of course. And that's, you know, that's, and so I wasn't saying that it's okay to hate people. I was just saying that it's a strong emotion. When you're indifferent, that's when you know you're over it. That's where I was going with that. You know, hate is just, you know, I always say that hate's not the opposite of love. Indifference is the opposite of love. So you're just feeling all of these emotions, and we call it hate because we don't know what else to call it. But that is exactly, I think, at the heart of how we navigate in this world awake, because it is so easy to just write someone off and put them in this category that is, you know, called bad or evil because we can't make sense of it. But we can make sense of it. We can make sense of it if we dig underneath, right? So, and this is going to be the hardest exercise you're going to do, but I invite you to get inside her skin and try and understand. Now, I'm not condoning anything that she's doing. I'm just suggesting that you try and ask the questions, the why, the what, the where, the how, the who, how, why. And that will, I think, at least connect you to some understanding and hopefully and possibly and most likely some compassion for her. Because I think the biggest mistake that we make in our culture around understanding and forgiveness is that we think that means that we condone whatever the practices that we're forgiving.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, my head jumps to that shortcut. Oh, okay. But if I don't...
Of course. Of course.
If I don't hate her, then I'm condoning what she's
exactly.
doing.
Exactly. And we feel that we have to hold on to that to say, no, I really do care. No, I really do. I'm not justifying what she's doing. No. And that's the mistake we all make. And what a beautiful idea. Like, hold this in your mind to forgive her and hold compassion for her and still feel as strongly about not killing animals as you do. Imagine holding both of those at the same time, and I do believe they're possible.
Mm-hmm. I believe it too. Cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I commend you. And I'm hungry because I haven't had any delicious food. No one's made me any delicious food.
It's amazing what we have going on right now.
That's great. I literally have a plate of carrots and fennel in front of me.
No.
I cannot eat because if I'm eating between calls, then that's dangerous.
Yep.
But thank you for that. And will you, keep me posted on your own thoughts and how that develops? I want to hear.
I will.
Okay. Love it, Cress. I'm so excited to hear how this plays out for you. And then Cress gave the phone to Christy, and Christy is our next caller.
Hello, Christy. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I just got introduced to you not too long ago. Cress sent me a podcast, and I listened to it on the way over here, and it was completely relevant to what I was going through, which is when people make excuses about why they eat meat, and that there's no good argument. And I really like the way you put it. It was beautiful. So my issue is I'm also in my first year. I've been having a really powerful emotional experience. I was vegan and vegetarian for a few years, a little while back, but I didn't have the same emotional experiences that I'm having now. I have a lot more awareness. And I'm in the mental health field. And I was at a training today to discuss ageism. And the trainer was really, really great and knowledgeable about all different kinds of oppression. And she was discussing ageism, sexism, racism, and heterosexism. And was just talking, discussing oppression and all the different reasons why we oppress and the stereotypes and all these. It was just so beautiful and so great. And when I brought up speciesism and pointed out that I did this actually in between during lunch because she was talking about going to Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, these all apply to animals. And she got so defensive. And it was interesting because this really open-minded, amazing trainer that's come several times to our agency, even this like super aware in all these other areas, this person started throwing out these excuses. And she's like, oh, my body needs meat. I know my body and I need meat protein, right? And I didn't want to get defensive about it, but I wanted to make her think. And I just said, but, you're oppressing the animals in the same way that you've described the oppression of all these other different, minority groups or other groups. And what makes animals any different? And she said, well, is the lion oppressing the gazelle?
Oh, my Lord.
I'm
sorry.
And I thought, well, if the lion had enough awareness, what he was doing to the gazelle was wrong and could go to the grocery store and purchase a variety of other foods that did not cause harm, I'll bet the lion would do that. The lion doesn't have any choices. And I found myself losing respect for this person that I had a lot of respect for, not taking her seriously, and the same just kind of resentment and like anger and just frustration and spending like the second half of the training trying to think of comebacks that I didn't say and like wishing I'd said the right thing. And I have this attitude that if I can just say the right thing, this person will never, ever eat meat again, And we're friends on Facebook and because she's kind of in my group. And when I went later that night, I looked at Facebook and she checked in at In-N-Out Burger. And I was so I felt so angry and so frustrated. And I feel like we're given these little opportunities where people are listening. And I'm feeling this sense of responsibility to say the right combination of words and comments from my whole small, but still kind of a lot of information, like library of information about why we should be vegan, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I failed, and I feel like I now don't really like this person. And this is something that's happening more and more in my life as I'm seeing people and the way they treat animals. And I don't want to be distanced from my human fellows, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So gosh, there's so many things. It's something, I mean, this is exactly this is why I created these 10 stages that I've been talking about on the podcast, where we all go through this. So if it helps, you are not alone. We all have and do and will go through this when we become awakened to these issues. And the stage that I've identified that I hear you talking about is the evangelism stage and the finding your voice stage, which is unfortunately, evangelism as a word has gotten a bad rap because it's been used for people who have not been, you know, very good evangelists. I mean, just, you know, it tends to mean one thing, but, you know, evangelism isn't necessarily a bad thing. There's something really beautiful about caring so much about something that you want to spread the word about it. And that's really what evangelism is.
Right.
And so we have to learn to be good evangelists and because we want to speak out about this issue and we should speak out about this issue. So there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we all want to do, but it's a matter of finding our voice. And how do we do that so that we're not only effective, but also happy while we're doing this? Because we need to be effective, but we also don't want to be miserable. And as you said, lose relationships and think badly about other people who are in our circles and different tribes and et cetera. So how do we do that? So when I heard you talking, I mean, obviously I knew where you were going with this as soon as you said it. And look, we have to understand, it is not a mystery, that it is so easy to rally around issues that the support of which do not affect us in our daily lives. You could be, you know, all of anti all those things, anti-racist, anti-sexist, anti-whatever, everything, but how does that affect you day to day, right? How does that affect you? It doesn't. You don't have to change. Not really. Not really. You don't really have to change a lot of your own personal life and own personal choices to demonstrate and manifest not being racist, right? What do you do? Like, I'm not even going to play with the ideas of what that would look like. That would be its own Saturday Night Live skit or something. But there's nothing in our daily lives. You could be against the death penalty, but how does that in your everyday life affect how you operate? It doesn't. So those are really convenient, wonderful, important, and easy things to take a stand against or for, right? Take a stand against racism, take a stand against, sexism, etc. When it comes to speciesism, we're all guilty and it affects
us. Three times a day.
And clearly she's going three times a day. She's going to Burger King, she's going to In-N-Out Burger. So she's doing it like 2, 3, 4 times a day. So we're all guilty. And so here's the thing. She comes, you know, she's given the speech. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but the way you told me the story was that when I knew she was going to Burger King, it was at lunchtime, so that's when I said it. Had she already said that she was going to Burger King?
Yeah, that's when I mentioned speciesism.
And that's when you mentioned it. Now, I'm going to recommend that it's probably at the auction when someone's buying the slaves, they're probably not going to be open to abolition. I'm just going to guess, right? So we have to be mindful of the timing of our evangelism.
She just identified herself as not only someone that eats meat, but someone that eats low quality meat.
Great. So good. So what I would recommend is taking a deep breath in a situation like that, taking a deep breath, walking away from it, gathering your thoughts, really thinking about how you want to approach it, and then having a conversation with her when it's not in the context, when it's not wrapped up in her consuming animals, because she's not going to be open to it. She's not going to listen. She's not. There is another, there's a time and a place. So it's not to say that you shouldn't speak up. It's just that we have to be mindful of the timing of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's one thought. The other thought is, you'll hear me say this a million times if you continue to listen to the podcast, is that we always have to remember where we were and that we once ate animals. And you just said that you've been vegan a year, and that means that you were not vegan prior to that. And so if we're coming from, you know, listen to the difference between, you just mentioned all of these isms and you just mentioned all of this oppression against all these other beings, but what about animals? You know, it's speciesist to say that it's okay to do to them whatever we want just because they're a different species. Don't you know that's wrong? Versus, I mean, I'm not saying that's how you said it, but right, that's kind of how we tend to want to say it, is don't you know, you, versus, you know, what's really interesting is I'm so interested in what you're saying, and I respect you so much, and thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us. I agree with everything you said. And recently I learned a new word. I never even thought of this before in making the connections with these other isms, is I realized that there's this thing that we do to other species. And did you know there's even a word for it? I thought you might be interested in just, you know, making that part of your, you know, these other groups that you're thinking about. Just wanted to throw that out there, because I didn't even realize that I was even being speciesist before I was, you know, something like that, so that it's still saying it, throwing it out there, giving her the information, but stepping back and saying, I just thought you might want to know that, because I'm really fascinated by that. And I didn't know that I was even participating in that.
Wow, that's good. But can I just call you next time and you can tell her?
No. Nope.
That's good. That's such a different approach in a non-judgmental way. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And so that's, so the takeaway is not to memorize that exactly, but the takeaway is I versus you. That's
right,
the takeaway.
Right.
So speak from your own experience, speak from your own heart, step back. And you should see me while I'm talking right now. I literally, my hands are up, you know, my palms are out, and I'm like stepping, like literally the gesture of not, you know, no pressure. Just wanted you to know this, and then walk away, because
instead of a power struggle. Cause that's what I feel like I get into, power struggles with people. But I debate my point, they debate their point. And I'm new to this. I don't have all the answers. And so then I feel like at some point I get stuck, and then I feel like they won, and it becomes a debate instead of an information sharing conversation.
Exactly. And so you'll hear me talk a lot about the benefit of planting seeds versus having an attachment to what the outcome is. And you'll hear me talk about, when I have these conversations with people, we always have to make the choice whether we want to be right or we want to be effective. And at that moment, when you're both vying for the win, it's lost. It's just done. There's no point in continuing. But if you're trying to just have a conversation, and, you know, I always talk about the intention, knowing what the intention is. When I'm having these conversations, my intention is not to win. My intention is to raise awareness. My intention is to speak the truth. My intention is to speak for animals. And that's very different than my intention is to get them to change their mind.
Wow. I'm going to write that down. That's powerful.
Well, there's some food for thought for you, and you are on the right path. And thank you for your passion and your open heart. And it's just a matter of just honing it to make it work for you and the people you come in contact with.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I look forward to listening to your podcast.
Thank you so much. Good. Well, have a good night.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So amazing. I'm so impressed with all of your openness and eloquence and honesty. And I'm just so moved. I'm so incredibly moved by all of you. One thing to keep in mind is you can find Christy and Cress's calls individually over at SoundCloud. SoundCloud is a really wonderful tool I'm using. I'm going to be using it a ton. So basically what's going to happen is this podcast is going to keep running the way it does, and I'm going to be able to pull out segments of the podcast and be able to put them just as SoundCloud clips. So if you go to my page on soundcloud.com and type in my name, you'll find certain podcast episodes. Maybe it's easier for you to share that link instead of the other link for my podcast. And you'll also be able to send certain calls, because I'm going to be putting different phone calls up just as their own individual calls. It's going to be a wonderful way to reach a new audience. I have to be honest with you, I didn't even make this announcement. I'm going to just kind of pull it quietly. The Compassionate Life podcast episode that I intended to do, I started because my intention was to have shorter clips of content to be able to share and to enable you to share these shorter segments. Well, that's exactly what SoundCloud does. I didn't even know SoundCloud existed when I started that podcast. It doesn't make sense for me to have a whole separate podcast called The Compassionate Life for that purpose. So I know I've talked about it before. Some of you may have subscribed. I'm so sorry. Forgive me for a false start, but go to SoundCloud and that's where you're going to find all these clips. And that's going to also be featured on my new website. SoundCloud is going to be beautifully integrated in my new website. So you're going to be able to find it easily over at ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com very soon. Well, thank you everyone. And thank you again to our sponsors, Tofurky. Go to Tofurky.com and to AnimalLearn, AnimalLearn.org/compassion. May you have a day filled with wonder and wisdom, compassion and abundance, connection to and love for all beings, both human and non-human. For the animals, this is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. Thanks for listening.